Blessed be God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be his kingdom, now and forever.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Let us pray. O God, who on the holy mount revealed to chosen witnesses your well-beloved Son, wonderfully transfigured in raiment white and glistening, mercifully grant that we, being delivered from the disquietude of this world, may by faith behold the King in his beauty, who with you, O Father, and you, O Holy Spirit, lives and reigns one God forever and ever.
Amen.
A reading from the book of Exodus. Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke with them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And when he came out, he told the Israelites what he had been commanded. The Israelites would see the face of Moses, that the skin of his face was shining, and Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord is King.
A reading from the second letter of Peter. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to refresh your memory, since I know that my death will come soon, as indeed our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. You'll do well to be attentive to this and as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of a scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Peter and John and James, and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, and since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm embarrassed to admit that even though I am a cradle Episcopalian, I did not know that August 6th is always the Feast of the Transfiguration. In fact, it has been the traditional day to celebrate the Transfiguration even prior to the Reformation. This year, it just happens to fall on a Sunday, so it supersedes the normal readings for the day. Most years, it doesn't fall on a Sunday, so unless you're a faithful follower of all the different feasts during the year, it can slide by unnoticed. However, we do read the story of the Transfigure every year on the last Sunday before Lent. So this year, you're blessed to hear the story a second time. And I'm sure we all remember Father Hackett's sermon from February 26, right? It's interesting, though, to preach on this reading today as opposed to right before Lent, because before Lent, preachers many times use this reading to set up the penitential time of Lent. But since we're in the middle of the summer, I thought I would take a different approach. There's a lot packed into this story, but it helps to go back a few verses to set the stage. 8 days prior to this story, Jesus is asking the disciples what other people are saying about him. The disciples tell Jesus that some say he's a prophet, others say he's John the Baptist, and others say he's Elijah. Then Jesus asks them point blank, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answers immediately, "You are the Messiah." Wow, Peter gets it. Or does he? Just a little while later, Jesus is telling them he must go on a journey to Jerusalem and that he'll have to endure great suffering. He said he would be rejected by the chief elders and the scribes and be killed, and then he'll rise again on the third day. Peter's reaction to this, though, is to say, "No, this must not happen to you." But Jesus rebukes Peter and tells Peter that he is thinking of human things, not divine things. Jesus tells Peter that there is a greater purpose and a higher calling than what we can see as humans. Jesus goes on to tell them that they must lose their lives to save their lives. They must become servant to others. And if they are ashamed that Jesus must submit himself, then Jesus will be ashamed of them. My interpretation of this is that if the disciples are ashamed that Jesus will take the route of appearing to be weak by submitting himself to humiliation, rather than being an earthly king and conquering the Romans, then they are stuck in human thought rather than divine thought. It means they don't get he's not here just to save the Jews, but he's here to save all humankind, which means he is here to save the Romans as well, not to conquer them. So Peter had a moment that he got it right, but he found out that he really didn't understand what he was saying. Have you ever had a moment like that? I've had several of them. One example, many years ago, long before I was trained and licensed as a lay preacher, I delivered a sermon to an ecumenical group. It was on the subject of the end times, and I knew the scripture can and is interpreted by different denominations differently. I was not interested in creating a debate on those interpretations, but rather make a point that could be deduced regardless of the interpretation. In fact, as I was concluding the sermon, I'd said something like this: whether you're a subscriber to this interpretation or that interpretation, it follows that we can deduce the same point. And as I was saying that, I saw several heads nodding, and afterwards several people came to me and thanked me for what I had said. Now, fast forwarding to the present, as I reflect on that sermon, I exclaimed to myself, what was I thinking? I had no expertise at that time to make those comments. I'm not even sure what made me think of them. However, with my current knowledge, I can see that it was a fair deduction to make, but there was no way I could have known that then. I was either very lucky or it was a God moment. I like to choose the latter. And if that is true, God used me without me even knowing it at the time. I was like Peter. I said something that was correct, but I had no real understanding. I didn't know I didn't have any real understanding until years later. Jesus, though, is letting Peter know immediately by telling him straight on that he is thinking in human terms and not divine terms. The next step for Jesus is to get Peter to start thinking in divine terms. And I believe this may be why he took Peter, James, and John up that mountain. Jesus wanted to give them something that would enlighten them and something they could remember and use as an anchor when times get tough. I don't know about you, but I have moments when my faith is not as strong as other times. It's easy during those times to write off those God moments in our lives as just luck or coincidences. Jesus wanted these three to have something to really lean on. If all he gave them were parables and miracles, then as time went on, Jesus might be remembered as a prophet and not as the Son of God. The Transfiguration had to be a scary, powerful moment that no one could forget. Even as Peter struggles one more time with understanding by putting Moses and Elijah on equal par with Jesus, that had to change once that cloud engulfed them and the voice of God says, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." This moment was a gift from God to James, John, and especially Peter. This was to move them from a hazy understanding of what was going on to a clear understanding. It would still take the resurrection for all the understanding to take place, but this moment would give them the anchor they needed. And while Jesus was talking with Elijah and Moses, they were speaking of Jesus' departure, which would occur in Jerusalem. The Greek word translated into departure is Exodus. Exodus could also be translated to mean death, or even specifically the departure of the Israelites from Egypt. The parallel is obvious. Jesus' departure or death is an exodus. It is a deliverance. All the components for understanding Jesus' plan is right here. He is the Son of God. He has a journey to make to Jerusalem. He is going to undergo all the trials and tribulations that he told Peter. And it's all about God's plan to deliver all humankind, not just the Israelites, towards reconciliation with God. It's all packed in these 9 verses. And we know Peter used this experience to ground himself and spread the word. We heard it today in our epistle reading from 2 Peter. He says the following: "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven, and while we were with him on the holy mountain. I like Peter's reference to miss. Without this moment of revelation, it could be easy for any person, including Peter, to not fully grasp the meaning and purpose of Jesus' ministry. It could all be just relegated to be the ministry of a prophet. This experience gives him the anchor to know that Jesus is the Son of God. And what does that mean for us, though? We didn't get to experience his marvelous transfiguration. What can we use for an anchor? For me, it's the God moments like the one I mentioned earlier. Those moments I just know that God touched my life are what I use for my anchors. And as we go through life, things can happen that we may call God moments, but someone else may call them coincidences. You may even have a few of those moments you're not sure which they are. You may choose to call them God moments, but you wonder if they may be just coincidences. But I'm betting you also have some other God moments of which you are sure. These are your anchors. When your faith is failing, think about Peter on the mountain experiencing the transfiguration of Jesus, and think of your own God moments. These are the tools that God has given you to help you through your tough times. Amen. Please join me in sharing our faith together by saying the Nicene Creed, which can be found on page 10 in your bulletin. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate of the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church.
We acknowledge one baptism
for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
With our eyes fixed on Christ, the beloved Son who intercedes for us, let us offer our prayer with confident faith before the throne of God, saying, "Lord, have mercy." That the Church of Christ may be ever inattentive to his voice, persevering in prayer and zealous in his service, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That Christ, the morning star, may dawn upon the hearts of all and herald a new day of justice and peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That those whose lives are overshadowed by physical pain or anguish of spirit, especially for those on our prayer list, Margaret, Jean, Steve, Nicole, J.R., Blair, John and Joan, Paul, Marie, Chuck, Jimmy, Martha, Renee, Jaden, Ryan, Teddy, Richard, Karan, Regina, Irene, Larry and Sally, June, Michael, Joe, Laura, Baylor, Shay, Ed, Doug, Cecilia, Ed, Alberta, Tom, Chad, Angela, Tony, Jane, Charles, Rusty, Tony, Seth, Gary, Finley, Willie, Betsy, Pat, Jim, Michael, Clara, Gary, Georgina, Denny, Nancy, Chuck, Judy, Joyce. That they may know the healing touch of Christ and the transfiguring power of his resurrection, let us pray to the Lord. That we who have been called by Christ to this mountain of prayer may find enough strength here to be his witness in the world, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Are there any other intercessions? We pray for the members of our armed forces. We give thanks for those celebrating birthdays this week, especially Jean Cheryl, Betty Travis, Kelsey Cagle, and Jordan Middleton. We give thanks for those celebrating an anniversary this week, especially Laura and Scott Greenwell, and Chris and George Jorson. That those who during their earthly pilgrimage acknowledge the dominions of Christ and all whose faith is known to God alone may be drawn into the radiant joy of heaven's kingdom and behold the face of the Lord of God. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
God of majesty and power, whose beloved Son is your word of truth and the light shining in our darkness, receive the prayers of your church and grant that all peoples may come to know the peace of your kingdom and the splendor of your name. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done. And by what we have left undone, we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
be with you. God's peace be with you. The Lord's peace be with you. Sing it, Clark. Sing it.
Good morning to you. Just a couple of announcements. The worship committee will meet immediately following the service in the library. This being the first Sunday, the loose offering is designated for the rector's discretionary fund, and if I'm not mistaken, the wellness committee will be conducting blood pressure checks in the wellness center. Are there any other announcements? Yes, Jeannie.
I took the first load of the socks and the racers down to the community kitchen. They were so pleased. They really need these items, and we appreciate all of you for this.
And we continue to collect them.
Almost 50, so we go
Okay. Thank you for doing that. Are there any other announcements? Ascribe unto the Lord the honor due his name. Bring offerings and come into his courts.
See that the Lord is good.
At this time, we will bless a new fair linen that has been given for the worship of God. Let us pray. We bless your name, O Lord, because it has pleased you to enable your servant Kelly to offer this gift for your worship. Remember her for good, and grant that all who benefit from this gift may show their thankfulness to you by using it in accordance with your will through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O glorious God, all your works proclaim your perfect beauty. Accept our offering of this fair linen, and grant that it may adorn this sanctuary and show forth your glory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, for you are the source of light and life. You made us in your image and called us to new life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you, in your mercy, sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ is alive. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory.
The gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died and rose for you. Feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. May God grant you the grace never to sell yourself short, grace to risk something big for something good, grace to remember that the world is now too dangerous for anything but truth, and too small for anything but love. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be among you, inspire you, and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen.
Hallelujah.